name was in the bulletin, y'all knew I was preaching. And no, that's why y'all weren't here, is what I was saying. But no, that reminds me of my father-in-law telling me when he was in Grenada that he was on a mission trip there, and that the service would start and there'd be just a handful of people there. But by the time the service would get to the preaching, there'd be 70, 80, 90 people there. And because they were traveling by foot, 30 minutes to an hour, having to walk up the mountain to get to the service, but they'd start with the singing, and they'd hear the singing, and that would bring the people in. And so then they come to the house of God and worship him and listen to the preaching. And so that kind of reminds me of that as y'all have filtered in here tonight. So thank you for being in your place. It is encouraging to see you here and encouraging to others. And somebody, I guarantee you, if you're not here, somebody missed you. And if you think nobody missed you, well, the Holy Spirit missed you too. All right. And so if you're there in Psalm chapter 95, please say amen.
Amen.
All right. Y'all are almost awake. Psalm chapter 95, verse number 6. The Bible says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a place that we can meet, a place that we can dwell, Lord, in your spirit, Lord, that we can meet together and worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father, that you would be amongst us tonight, Lord, as we listen to the preaching of your word, as we dwell on your word. I pray that you would help us to realize things and to apply them to our lives. I pray, Father, that you'd be with each of us, that we'd be an encouragement to each other, Lord, that we'd serve one another, that we'd love one another, that we'd bear one another's burdens, Lord, as we went through our prayer time. Lord, we know that you listened to each and every one of the prayers that were sent out, Lord, not just from the pulpit, but from those sitting in the chairs tonight, Lord, who had requests that went up to you. Lord, I pray that you'd meet each and every one of those needs, Lord, as you see fit and as your will permits. Lord, I pray that you'd be with anyone here tonight, Lord, whether they're in the service or listening on the radio or live stream, that if they do not know you as personal Savior, that, Lord, something would be said or preached tonight, or, Lord, or sung that would convict their heart, that they would see their need for you, Lord, and that they would be gloriously saved. I pray that you bless the reading and the preaching of your word, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Tonight we continue our series on the names of God and what they should mean to us as the New Testament church. These names are not simply titles, but rather the very being of who God is. They tell us something about him, his character, his personality, his heart, and his desires can all be found in his name. The very name mentioned in Philippians 2, verses 10 through 11, which says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, at the very mention of his name, knees will bow, and people will proclaim that he is God. Have you ever known anybody kind of like that? I know on an earthly sense, but somebody kind of like that. Perhaps it was a boss. And at the mention of the boss's name, people got with it. People would start working harder. People would start serving a little differently. People would start to think, oh, well, the boss is about to be here. I want to get with it. I want to get some work done. I've known many coworkers like that. Well, I have news for you, church. God's about to be here. God's about to be here. He's about to come back. Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to get with it? Are you ready to do things for him? Because at just the very name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And I know that that's just a human example of the authority and awe of God we serve, but I think it is something that we can take in as we think of that boss. And in fact, his name is so powerful, it even overcomes, as we know, death and hell, as mentioned in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only through him can one have eternal life, and only through him can one be saved from death, hell, and the grave. The songwriter put it like this: all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. What a joy it will be among the children of God during the thousand-year reign of Christ when he comes down in authority and power and then is crowned Lord of all. Now, as we look at our text, we notice a name mentioned here in verse number 6. It says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We see God is called Jehovah Hasanu, or the Lord our Maker. God, as we know, is the divine creator. In Genesis 1:1, it says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He is the divine builder. In Hebrews 3:4, it says, For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And he is the divine maker. As it says in John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God, in his sovereignty and authority, declared everything to be made, and it was so. I might have mentioned this before, but we can say a lot of things, but they don't necessarily get done. Son, put on your jacket. Go get your shoes. Where are your shoes? Caden's old enough he can go find his things wherever he's thrown them, and you can tell him to go get it, and he'll go try to find it. And so as I try to tell him to do that, just because I say it to be so, doesn't mean it's always so. How many of you know that with your kids? Just because I say it to be so does not make it so. And so God, though, in his ability, as he's the divine creator, he's made all things, and he declared them to be made, and it was so. He didn't need help from anyone else. He didn't need assistance from another being. He truly is the Lord, our Maker. He's the Lord, the maker of all things. And I want us to dwell on that tonight. So as we jump into the message, I want to point out a few things about the wording of the phrase, the Lord, our Maker, found in our text. Firstly, notice it says the Lord. He is not only the creator, builder, and divine maker of all things, he is the master of them as well. Lord means master or ruler. Basically, that we are to be servant to him, or that creation is to be servant to him. Whatever he says to do, they do it. Whatever he says to have happen, happens. And so Matthew 8:25-27 says, And his disciples came to him and awoke, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Y'all remember the story there? They're in the ship, and they're worried about the storm that's there. And he saith unto them, Jesus, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Nature itself is servant to God. He is the master. He is the Lord. He is the Lord, our maker. And so here we see that even the creation itself sees Christ as its master. And if he can command the storms of this world, surely he can command the storm of your life. Whatever little storm you've got going on, can it really amount to the same magnitude as the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the hailstorms? And Patty and I, we saw a commercial the other day. It was a sale at a car lot, and it was called the hail sale because so much hail damage had come through the area. And they were selling cars saying, hey, your car was damaged, and so you can come in for this sale. Hey, somebody would have loved to, and I told somebody just yesterday, I'd like to meet the farmer that prayed for this rain because I got a few words for him. Because I don't like the rain that much. I'm okay with the grass being brown. I don't need so much rain. I like some warmth here and there. But you think about how God, he can just say it and it's so. He can change the decision of that rainstorm. He orchestrates all those things. So he's the Lord. He's the master of them. And so he can be the master of your storm. And so then it says, The Lord our Maker, John 1:3, as we read, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we like to say that God created Adam and Eve, and he did. But you know who else he created? He created Jonah Knight, and he created Caden Knight, and he created Patty Knight, and he created all of us. He is the divine creator, the one who is the maker of us, our physical bodies. But then, this should apply, I believe, to almost everyone, or hopefully everyone here in the church tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So who makes the new creation? Well, you can't make yourself new. Your mama can't make you new. Your daddy can't get you to heaven and make you new. Only God and his work of the Holy Spirit can make you a new creation. And so as he's the divine maker, if you're saved tonight, he's made you new. He's made you something different than you were. He took you where you were. He took what He had there when He saved you, and He's making you and molding you into something different as the potter and the clay. And so one day you woke up lost, but praise God, you went to bed saved. Amen? We should all say amen to that. One day you started your day on your way to hell and ended your day on your way to heaven. Amen? What a glorious day that we had there because the Maker stopped by. Because the Maker, the Creator, stopped by and made us new. Why? Because God made you new, and I'm so thankful for the Lord our Maker. And so, with all this said, let's look at point number one found in Ephesians. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. We're looking at Jehovah Hasanu, the Lord our Maker. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, number one is the power of His might. The power of His might. This Maker that we have, this Creator that we have, there is power in His might. Here we are commanded to be strong and live our lives through His power and not our own. We try to live life without Him so often, and I fear that we get comfortable living without God, living without His power. Did you wake up and ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit today? Hey, maybe all you did was go grocery shopping. Did you say, "Lord, please fill me with Your Spirit. I want to talk to the right person. I want to pass the tract to the right person. I want to be the right kind of light and witness." So as we live our lives, we're supposed to be strong and live our lives through His power, not our own. It is in the power of His might that we can see miracles performed. It is in the power of His might that we can see our lives transformed. And it is in the power of His might that we can see the storms of our life calmed. When we ask God to step in and we ask God to do something in those storms. And as we mentioned, Genesis 1:1, the creation of the world. What a mighty act, a powerful, mighty act of God. Genesis 7:17 through 18, we see the great flood. In Genesis 19:24, we see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What power there is in the Maker, our God. In Exodus 14:21, we see the parting of the Red Sea. In Joshua 6:20, we see the walls of Jericho come down. In 1 Kings 18:38, Elijah, he calls down fire from heaven. In Matthew 28, verse 6, we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts 16, 26, we see Paul and Silas in prison, and God had the walls come down to that prison. In John 6, 11, we see the feeding of the 5,000. And in Revelation 21, verse 4, we're going to see God's final victory. We serve a God who is powerful. A powerful God and the power of His might, the Maker who did all of these amazing things, He's able to help us in our infirmities and in our trials. It's safe to say we have a mighty, powerful Maker. It reminds me of the song that Patch Club sang a while back, "Mighty, Powerful God," and it sure is true. And then JamesWebDiscovery.com. Here are a few things I thought were very interesting. Number one, Earth is the only planet known to host life. We understand this. Despite decades of searching, no other planet has yet been confirmed to host life. Earth remains our oasis in the vast cosmic desert. Number two, Earth's atmosphere shields us from deadly radiation. Without the protective magnetic field and ozone layer, solar radiation would fry life on the surface. Number three, the sun is 109 times wider than Earth. Wow. It could fit over 1.3 million Earths inside of it. Fact number four, the sun makes up 99.8% of the solar system's mass. Everything else, planets, moons, asteroids, and comets account for just 0.2%. Wow. That's my God. He made that. He created, and you know how He did it? Let there be light. Boom. He said, "Hey, I want there to be animals. Hey, I want there to be light." And so God, He just in His mighty power, His the power of His might, and then the moon stabilizes Earth's tilt. Without the moon, Earth's tilt could wobble chaotically, making climates unpredictable, which maybe does do that here in Erie. But then, number six, the Earth spins, and this was amazing, approximately 1,040 miles an hour. If the earth was to stop spinning for 1 millisecond, we would all die. If it would just stop spinning for a millisecond. I am right now as fast as anybody else on earth. I'm traveling 1,040 miles per hour right now. I am. So are you. We are all on equal ground here. But see, this speed, this thing, this earth, this universe, all the things that have been created, they're from our Maker. This is the Maker we serve. And don't you think He can handle your situations just as He did the disciples in Matthew 8, verses 25 through 27, as we read earlier? He caused this great calm. He's the master of the sea. He did all these things, and they marveled. I think so many times we marvel when we see God doing something. And it's just because of who we are. We're just finite. We're humans. But even to me, when God gives us a museum, and we marvel and we see how God is doing something and he's working something out. And when God blesses us, when God gives us these miracles, when God performs these things, we should all be saying, wow, thank you, Lord, but that's just the God we serve. Amen? He's the one who has a powerful might to Him. And just as He took care of those disciples in their storm, He can make something beautiful out of your chaos. And then number two, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. So firstly, we see the power of His might as we look at the Creator, as we look at the Lord, our Maker. We see in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 6, we've heard preaching from this book many times, these verses really many times. But as we look at verse number 1, I want you to see the potential of His majesty. The potential of His majesty. It says in verse number 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Where's God? He's on the throne. You got to remember that. It's a difficult time that we live in America, but you have to say, well, God's still on the throne. The Lord's still on the throne. And so we have to understand but the potential of His majesty, majesty meaning place of authority, position of power and leadership, the given name to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to declare He is the one in charge. He's the King. Amen. I want to go to one of these No Kings protests and say, no, there's one King. There is one King. There's no kings here, but there's one King, and I serve Him, and He's my God. And so we see this place of authority, this majesty, the potential of His position. With this in mind, He has the power of decision making. It is up to God to decide how your life will go. You can have the heart for souls. You can want to save souls and see souls. You can, just like Proverbs says, "He that winneth souls is wise." What does that mean? Jeremiah wasn't wise? No. Means that he was giving glory to God, that he was serving God, that he was doing what God wanted him to do. But he may not have seen the same things that Paul saw or that other Old Testament prophets saw. He didn't get to see those things, but Jeremiah, he was still giving glory to God. He was still serving God with his life, but it's up to God how your life will go. The potential of His majesty, the potential of His position, and the decision-making He can have in your life. You may live a life full of difficulties, storms, trials, and hardships, but you may also live a life full of joy, blessing, excitement, and encouragement, and sometimes those lives are the same. You're going to live through the difficult times, but then you're going to have the joy on the other side, and you're going to live through the storms, but you'll have the joy and the blessing and the excitement. But you may think that your life is really difficult and hard. Maybe God picked you for that. And He's trying to teach you and mold you into something for His honor and glory. We like to look up as the clay and say, well, I wanted to be a mug. I wanted to be a vase. I wanted to be this beautiful vase. And He says, no, I just need you to do this. This is what I need you to do. This is what you are made for. I need you to hold this planter. I need you to do this in the temple. Hey, not every person is going to be this vessel that God can use the same way. He uses us in different ways. And so He will make those decisions. But there's something that we have to understand is He's the Maker of those decisions. You see, it's all up to the Lord, the maker of decisions on how to decide the things that go on in our lives. But sometimes we get ahead of God. And we try to make something of our lives by ourselves. Or perhaps we pick a career path. Or we decide ourselves which car to buy. Simple things. Or we pick where we would go to college. Just, we pick it. We decide where we will send our kids to school. We forget that the maker of all things is the one who should be the one making our decisions. As we are led by His Spirit, as we live in the power of His might, hey, He made good decisions when creating this earth, right? I'm glad that He didn't make bees any bigger than they are. Amen? He made a good decision there. I'm glad that wasps go dormant in the winter. Amen? I'm glad for that. I'm glad that He didn't make, all certain things bigger than they are and different than they are, because we'd have a lot of problems dealing with them. Down south, you'll get those big Japanese hornets, and they're about as big as your thumb, and they're huge. We had one in the garage one night down there, and we couldn't leave. We locked down. We were quarantined because we couldn't get out the house. But no, you know, those things. And God, as He created, He made good decisions in creation. He made good decisions in your life so far. Aren't you glad He decided to send His Son to die for you? That was a good decision for me. Not for Him, but for me. He made that decision for me. And so we should allow Him to make the decisions in our lives. He has the power, as well as His potential and His majesty and His position. He has the power to make or break us, to make or break our lives. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Do we really fear God? Do we really fear Him? You know what God can do with our lives? You know what God can really do to our lives as He chastens us, as He judges us? I think one of the reasons that Jonah in the Bible ran off and went the wrong direction is because he didn't fear God right. He didn't truly have a fear of God, because if he did, he'd have known. If I run and I try to go to Tarshish, there's a potential that God is going to put me in the belly of a whale, and I really don't want to do that. And so if you have a fear of God, there's some things that you just won't do. As I've mentioned before, when you were a child, you had a fear of your parents. There was a reverence for your parents, an honor to them, but a fear of them, as they said, hey, I remember God's telling me this. Well, I can't do that. My mom would kill me. I wouldn't do that. My dad would kill me. And I can say the same thing. There are some things that I, in my mind, imagine if I went home, and I would be killed. I wouldn't be here tonight. But we have that fear for our parents, but we seem to not have that fear of God. The same mighty, powerful God who did all those miracles and performed all those amazing, unexplainable acts is also powerful enough to take you down a notch. Take you down a notch. You see, we tend to think we are something. We tend to think that we are somebody. But the maker of the universe warns us not to do so. In Romans 12:3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man this that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 14, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." It goes on to talk about all the things and the blessings that God has put upon them. And it says, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." The Lord had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they kept forgetting Him. They kept forgetting God. They kept forgetting God. Have you forgotten God in your Christian life? Have you forgotten the Maker, the one who made you new, the one who made you a new creation to begin with? Are you beginning to forget the things that He's done for you? In Psalm 9, verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." It says that the nation that forgets God, I think the people that forget God, the person that forgets God, will be treated as the wicked that shall be turned into hell. Their life will be a mess. The pastor at the college that I went to, the man that founded the school there, Dr. Harold Seitler, some may recognize that name. He had mentioned in a class one time, and I know this by way of testimony of others, that he would go out on visits, and if he visited somebody who claimed to be saved, and he went to their house, and he'd say, "How's everything going? You doing good?" And, "Oh yeah, I'm doing great. I just got a promotion. I got this going on. Everything's going so well." And his words were, "I wonder if they're saved." Because God doesn't let His children just go wander off and go live out in the far country and just do all these things. Yes, He'll have some mercy, and yes, He'll have some grace for us, but His goal is to chasten us, to bring us back, and to bring us back into the fold and into the shelter of His arms. And so we have to be very careful that we do not forget God. When we forget our Maker, we put ourselves in the place of chastisement and scourging. But then number three, I saw y'all wondering. I saw Brother Dennis was making his way to the door. Man, that's a rough row right there. I got Brother Troutman, Brother Mark, and Brother Dennis all right there. All right, number three. So we have the power of His might, the potential of His majesty, and then number three, the point of His masterpiece. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Yes, we know that God created the universe, and yes, we know that God created everything around us, and yes, we know that God created our physical bodies and spiritual beings. But why? Why did He create us? As I mentioned, Jeremiah, he didn't see those souls saved, but he was living his life for God. So what is the point to this life? It says in our verse, "I have created him for my glory." For God's glory. Are you allowing God to get glory out of your life? Are you willing for God to get glory out of your life? Romans 11 verse 36 sums it up beautifully by stating, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever." Everything that there ever was and everything that there ever will be created is for God's glory. You see, we were made for His glory, not our own. But we like to take the credit. We like to receive the praise. But God's perfect plan and the point of His masterpiece, His creation, is to give glory to Him. The earth is made for His glory. In Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40, it's talking there, the Pharisees are speaking with Him, and this is the same chapter where we find Zacchaeus, and he's done all these wonderful miracles. It says, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. And they said, 'Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, 'Master, rebuke thy disciples.'" Hey, they're going crazy over there. You need to rebuke them. "And He answered and said unto them, 'I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Hey, the stones would praise me. The stones would worship me. The stones would cry out to me if they were to hold their peace. So we know that the earth is made for His glory and the heavens declare the glory of God. But then number two, the angels are made for His glory. Luke chapter 2, y'all know these verses. Y'all can quote them, verses 13 through 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," what? "Glory to God in the highest." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels were made for His glory. The earth was made for His glory. And guess what? We are made for His glory too. In Psalm 29 verse 2 it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And you know, I think the glory that's really due unto His name cannot be given until we're in the glorified state. Until we're in the glorified body. We can try here on this earth to praise Him and to glorify Him. But to really do it, do justice to His name. I believe that's what we're going to be doing throughout eternity, is praising the Lord for His goodness. And so when we give our Maker glory, understand this, we give Him praise. I believe it means more to Him than the others. You see, the angels, they glorify Him. They don't have a choice. They glorify the Lord in heaven. They don't have that choice. And then the earth is made for His glory, that it's made for Him. It has no choice. But we have this thing called free will. And when we decide to give God glory, when we make that choice to give God glory, something so much sweeter. So much sweeter. It's been said of your spouse, they're the only person who ever chose to love you. Your parents had to love you. Siblings have to like you. No, but siblings have to love you. Cousins, grandparents. But you know, your spouse, they chose to love you. And that's what God's done for us. He's chosen to love us. And so when we choose to give Him glory, I think it means so much more to Him. And that's something that we can all do. We can all give God glory. Hey, when we sing the songs on a Wednesday night, yeah, we're tired. Yeah, we don't necessarily want to be here. Now, yeah, there's different things that are going on in each and every one of your lives. Hey, you may have a difficulty that you walked in with that you're holding on to that is a difficult burden for you to carry. But hey, you can still give God some glory. You can give God glory through the storm. You can give God glory through the trial. And that's what we're here to do, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so tonight, as we have looked at Jehovah Hasanu, the Lord our Maker, remember the power of His might, the potential of His majesty, and the point of His masterpiece, us, His creation. The point of us is to give Him glory with our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Perhaps tonight you have forgotten who you were before the Maker made you new. The Lord stopped by one day, and He took you the way you were, as the choir sang Sunday, just as I am. And He took us, and He made us something new. Perhaps you've forgotten that. Or perhaps you have overlooked His great power and authority over every area of your life, and you need to ask His forgiveness and ask Him to lead you. Or maybe you have failed to give Him glory in your endeavors, and you would like to start doing that tonight. The altar's open. You can begin tonight. You can come to the altar and make a decision to give God glory with your life. Maybe you're unsure if you're saved and that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you would like to come to the altar and pray for a loved one who hasn't yet been saved. Whatever your need is tonight, the altar is open. Right after I pray, we'll stand and we'll take our hymnals and sing. But if you have a question, if you have a need tonight, you can come to the altar. You can see me down front. And we'll do our best to take care of that for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are the Maker. You're the divine Creator of this universe, Lord, that we can trust You with all the different things that go on in our lives. And as we look at You as the Maker, as the Potter, Lord, I pray that You would allow us to mold us into what You want us to be, that we can give You the most glory. I pray, Father, that You bless the time of invitation and all those that would come and pray. Lord, I thank You for all that You do, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.